Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on the Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Tapped by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two starts on this Football Friday. Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, will be joining us at 7:30. We'll discuss all things college football, including Heisman Trophy presentation coming up, what he thinks of the potential of Big Ten expanding, and maybe some of this Pac-12 story that keeps getting worse and worse for the Pac-12 conference. But we had hour number one of our football Q&A, and Ryan Buckley, our producer, has not answered the tiebreaker question in my ear yet. So we will give away our football Q&A to the winner, which Buck just gave the tiebreaker vote. It will go to P1 Jordan, who asked the first hour's football Q&A for Dustin Cam. I'm a P1 t-shirt. What's the difference in the locker room when you're 13-3 but expected to be a contender versus a 3-13 as the Bills or Cardinals where you have no expectations heading into the year? That's an interesting one because there's some nuance to it in how you feel about heading into a season with expectations. They can be a mother bear, man. And if you don't live up to them, that's crushing. And your whole season spirals like we saw with Jacksonville last night.
Well, there's always the mindset, if you don't have goals and expectations, what are you playing for? So if you walk into a locker room, you walk into any business, you better have some expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, oh, you don't expect to win so you can play free. I'm going to tell you this right now. As long as I am breathing on this earth, I would always rather go into a season or a time knowing that I have the talent to be able to do something and live up to it or fail it, but at least I was there trying. I don't want everyone to walk in and go, oh, you know, nobody expects you to get the job. Nobody expects you to win the game. Who wants to live like that all the time? Because that's what it is it's not taking any risks. So Jacksonville had a bad season. They took some risks. They found some things. They found out more about themselves. But at least you know it now and go hide behind the fact of, well, we're not expected to do that, but we did. Maybe, no, I never thought of it that way.
Maybe Jalen Ramsey will shut up.
That's a Jalen Ramsey problem.
Well, this year's a comeback down to earth for him. That's for sure.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Right?
All right, we will have more foosball and another football Q&A and your chance to win an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Weekend would you rather to kick off the 8 o'clock hour as well. But right now, it is 7:04.
What's hot?
Okay.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the Fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
Hey, the Portland Timbers will play in the MLS Cup Final tomorrow. A 4:30 kick on Fox. Get some! Against the Atlanta United FC.
All right.
Mercedes-Benz, you are not excited for this. Get pumped. Championships.
Well,
come to the area.
I'm not faking it.
Let's go, baby.
You haven't won anything yet. You got to go win. I'm tempering my expectations. It's the day before.
It's one of the two soccer games I'm going to watch all year long.
I expect the Timbers to win this game. There.
Well, hold on. It's one of the three soccer games I'm going to watch this year. So,
yeah,
I've watched the last.
Go get you another trophy, Timbers.
Yeah, heck yeah. 4:30 kick. 3 years ago, it was a great year for the Portland Timbers as they did it. So 4:30 kickoff on Fox. Get excited. Watch it. It's going to be fun. You're as cold as ice. That man finally got paid. Justin Wilcox gets a 5-year contract extension to keep him in Berkeley and at Cal through 2023. Gets a pay bump from $2 million to $3.25 million as well.
That's good. He deserved it. And I think the staff is going to get a bump also, which is great when you can offer guys more money to keep your staff together. That's great.
Yeah, $600,000 going to the assistant coach pool, mm-hmm. which, I mean, you're not looking at a significant amount of money. That's
I don't care what you're saying, man. If your paycheck goes up, you're happy.
Yeah.
You're liking it.
And that's it. That's good. Because if you think about it, you have 9 assistant coaches on your staff. Mm-hmm. $600,000, you're looking at, you know, a little over 50 grand a piece for them, mm-hmm. which you're probably going to give 100 grand to your coordinators to try and keep them around and then trickle down through your staff to your assistant coaches.
I know it sounds minimal, but it is a big jump for them. And Cal had a tough defense this year. Hopefully they get settled in at quarterback. And that just means that Coach Wilcox get a chance to implement his system, get more recruits in, and feel more stable when you're out.
Of note to the University of Oregon fans, this just popped up on social media. University of North Texas coach Seth Luttrell was rumored to be the number one target of Kansas State for their head coaching vacancy. Mm. He's backed out. He'd rather be the North Texas coach than Kansas State's.
Wow. That's a big deal.
That's significant.
That's not only significant, it tells you about what the situation is at Kansas State. Yeah. Is it toxic? Is there going to be a hangover effect? Yeah. Is there a Bill Snyder kind of cloud of shade that's standing over that going, I don't like this hire? Something's going on behind it.
That'd be a fog.
Giant fog cloud.
But why that pertains to University of Oregon fans is that if you're looking at it, Jim Leavitt now becomes closer and closer on their radar for Kansas State. So keep an eye on that one. As developments as they happen, we will continue to get them to you. But Seth Luttrell will stay at North Texas instead of going to Kansas State. They probably aren't paying very well either there. That's got to be an issue too, you know?
North Texas State paying better?
No. Well, you know, state income tax.
Kansas?
In Kansas.
Have you been to Kansas?
But if Kansas... No, I'm saying Kansas State is not paying very... They don't pay Bill Snyder very much money.
Oh. Well.
Think about that.
I know, it's Manhattan and not the big Manhattan.
No. A showdown for the Heisman is set for tomorrow. Tua Tagovailoa and Kyler Murray picking up hardware last night at the College Football Awards show. Tua taking home the Maxwell and Camp Awards to the best player in college football. Murray, the Davey O'Brien winner for quarterback. Mm. Best quarterback in the land.
Yeah, they were splitting trophies last night.
Who wins it?
Oh, Kyler Murray.
You think so?
Yeah. Because I think he had a better weekend. And here's the other thing, and I wanted to ask Joel this too, because I think he mentioned it. It was super important. There were votes that came in before championship weekend,
before the
championship games. That's lazy. And I think that was disrespectful to be able to watch a final game when you get to see Tua play. He got hurt. Kyler Murray, better game. I think he's a little bit more electric.
Well,
I think he deserves it.
Tua just didn't get hurt. They were losing when he got hurt.
Yeah, and he's kind of been hurt all year. His knee's been bothering him, so yeah, that makes a difference.
It will be interesting. Of note, in last night's awards show, did you notice one thing that was missing from the award show?
What's that?
Completely missing from it. Not a single Pac-12 player won a national award.
Yeah. All right, salt in the wound.
Pac-12 player or coach.
An irrelevant conference, folks. Congratulations.
It was the only Power 5 conference without an award winner.
Congratulations. We've succeeded out here on the West Coast becoming irrelevant. Great job. You go take your kayaks and go to your hiking in your mountains. We'll just let football just kind of fade to the wayside.
I don't think the fans have much to do with that, do they?
You don't think so?
With the players not winning an award?
Where do the kids come from?
What do you mean, where do they come from?
They come from the West Coast.
California.
The West Coast.
Where do you think they come from? But a mom and a dad really want a baby.
This is the culture. From Baby Mountain.
We've created a culture on the West Coast where we don't care about football.
Well. Hasn't it always been that way, though?
No, it has not always been that way.
Really?
No.
Oh. Okay. All right. Doug Baldwin missed practice yesterday with a hip injury, but it is worth noting they are a day behind in the normal routine of other NFL teams because they play on Monday.
Yeah.
So is that, but that is a new injury popping up for Doug Baldwin yesterday.
He's had a tough year. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, from the start of the season, missed all of training camp, and it's just been lingering and lingering. Good thing Tyler Lock has had one of those Pro Bowl years.
Not a panic moment for Seattle. Other injury news, Alex Smith. We usually hear surgery was successful and everybody rolls their eyes at it. His surgery not successful. I mean, he's in bad shape. The Redskins' release was, please, we asked at this time for Alex Smith and his family to have their privacy because apparently, according to reports, he's having multiple surgeries to repair an infection and removing tissue from around that injured area where he broke his leg.
Scary, man. Removing tissue?
Ugh.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, there are rumblings his career could be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
That's and we saw it was a gruesome and gnarly injury.
I mean, we're reliving history all over again when Joe Theismann.
Yeah. Yeah. It was there's a lot of parallels to that injury, including like the time and the place and the
extremely
position
creepy
on the field and all that and the score of the game, but this is a parallel we didn't want to have. The Blazers are back to being on fire. They beat up on the hapless Phoenix Suns 108-86 last night. No CJ, no problem. In Moda Center, 24 points from Jake Layman, who didn't play the last five games, came off the bench, went 6-for-6 in the first quarter, single-handedly outscored the Phoenix Suns. He and Dame combined for 30 points in the first half. Phoenix had 32.
It's a bad basketball team they're playing last night. It's really, really bad.
Really bad. But it does end a three-game losing streak and a run of basketball where they had lost five of their last six.
Everybody needs a get-right game. Unfortunately, their get-right game was the Phoenix team.
Well, incoming is the Minnesota Timberwolves to Moda Center. Minnesota is 1-2 in a row, 7-3 over their last 10, so they're playing pretty well right now as well. That will be tomorrow night. Hot and Cool on Fans brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Trane. Start saving today at areaheating.com. John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News writes another article yesterday. A release of documents related to Larry Scott's email exchanges with athletic directors and university presidents and chancellors regarding the Pac-12 officiating blunder in Oregon State's President Ed Ray is right in the crosshairs. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Boy, you just turned me on to some of the Better You Today text line. Text in. So the texter says, did you guys see Gardner Minshew last night on the award show? It said Washington State Huskies.
Yeah, I know. I retweeted the picture. It was blown up. It's a shot of it, and it says Gardner Minshew the second. Isn't he a third?
No, I think he is the second.
Is he a second? Okay, but I thought he was a third for some
reason. Yeah, no, he's the second.
I still don't understand the difference between a second and a junior, though.
Oh. I believe the second is you have the exact same middle name.
And a junior is just...
I'm with you, Buck.
You just have the first name.
It's a little confusing.
Well, because Jim Mora Jr., though, he's Jim. He's actually Jim L. Mora. He's not Jim Mora Jr., and he doesn't have the same middle name.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, but they called
names
him
weird.
Man, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
neither.
Know,
I
Buck. My dad is a third.
You know what it could be? It could be if it skips a generation. So if like you were to name a kid after your dad, but you weren't named that, you know, your kid could be the fourth.
There's a lot of weird rules with this naming things.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come up with new names. But Garner Minshew, the Washington State Huskies picture.
God.
What a slap in the face.
And you sit there and you look and you go, oh,
how hard is that to have somebody that's spell checking it? Not much less mascot checking?
It could get any worse for the Pac-12.
God.
Yes, it could. Because it did yesterday. After the four-part series criticizing the Pac-12, John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News did a little FOIA request. And this was back in October when the Yahoo story broke. And Wilner put out feelers to all the ADs and university presidents for email exchanges under the Freedom of Information Act, email exchanges between university presidents, ADs, and Commissioner Larry Scott involving the officiating scandal. And what he got was pretty interesting and pretty telling on where the priorities are for the Pac-12 conference. First of all, Larry Scott, In the wake of it, he gave a heads up to everybody saying this is what's going to happen. You know, kind of as a non-starter, this is what, hey, we're not too worried about it, but just a heads up. And then as it went on in the actual article from Pete Thamel came out, the exchanges between Larry Scott and ADs and presidents, I think it's a bad look for the Pac-12.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, we find out that it wasn't just Woody Dixon that was involved in the replay reviews and having input in it. David Coleman, who is a trained official and the coordinator of officials, was as well. And so is Mike Ortiz, who is a name that's probably new to a lot of people. It was mentioned in the Oregonian four-part piece, but he's a instant replay supervisor, but he's a technician. And Larry Scott said he does have say in plays, and he's just a technician making sure all the replays and angles are what the guys asked for and the equipment is actually working properly. And he has say in these replays. Also, Larry Scott lies to the ADs and chancellors and presidents when he says all of the other major conferences, they have people that aren't trained officials chiming in as well, which John Wilner reached out to all the other conferences, to which they said, that's not the case at all. This is unique to the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's scrutiny. It's definitely a deep dive, the investigative journalism, because all these are public records and you can reach out, you can find it, you can ask it, you can request it, and you have to be given this. Then you dig deep and dive in, and then you have to interpret what their conversations are and what they're meaning. All this is it's a lot of minutia. It's a lot of things that have gone wrong in the conference. There's been a lot of mistakes that have been made, and it doesn't look good as a whole. And there's a lot of money. A lot of things have been in. If you had a checking account, you were run by public money, and you were run by major universities, and you were, no one ever called you to the carpet because you were winning and because you had success. No one's going to look at this. No one's going to go through your bank records. No one's going to do that, because winning means you're being successful and you're properly using the revenue that is generated by us here on the West Coast and by these universities. But because the conference is looking bad in football, your major revenue generator, basketball, is embarrassing. The whole coast as a group. And I'm looking at this, and I think that the more that this comes out, the more we see from the presidents and the chancellors, it's going to take more from you as fans, more from you as people and kids that go to their school to pay the tuition. You're paying for these people. You're paying for them. And this is, I know it just sounds like that, is that it doesn't give you the right to immediately just say, I want change, but it does give you a voice. And this is a voice for all of us to say, if you're happy with how this conference is going, if you think it looks good, then stay put. Yeah. Then don't say anything. If you don't, then continue this strive for better. And that's all I ask, is that can this conference be better and the presidents and everybody be better? And I would say yes.
Well, and I don't think there's enough heat being put on, because there was immediately after the Pac-12 was getting slammed, these emails turned into, we need to control the message, right? Mm-hmm. Which they have done a horrific job of doing, because everybody is continuing. Here we are, 2 months later, and it's not slowing down. It's actually just ramping up. Larry Scott sent an email to the presidents and chancellors that said, while the officiating matter appears to be under control, many stories emerging from Basketball Media Day suggest a more complex negative narrative that requires all of our attention. This narrative includes the fact that six of our schools have been mentioned in the ongoing federal trial on corruption in college basketball. To which Ed Ray, the president of Oregon State University, responded to all of them, we have no interest in letting others define us. We do have so much to be proud of. I've seen no adverse impact of a sports writer nastiness among supporters of the university. We should talk about seizing the communications initiative in the sports world. I think some of your concern probably is due to having to deal with continually the characters who populate the sports media. Thanks for your note and sharing with the group. We've got some CEOs new to this environment with angry sports blogger mob, and I'm sure some are more sensitive and reactionary to it. So you're not was very helpful indeed.
Sports bloggers.
Your note was very helpful.
So we're considered, you and I and anybody else that questions publicly what a university is doing. This texter says, better you today, text line. Beavs get our $40 million in debt at their university for athletics. Also, this text comes in too, better you today. If Wazoo doesn't complain, I'm pulling my Cougar athletic donations. Boom. The only way you can have an influence, the only thing you can do on the outside, is stop the money flow.
Yeah.
That's it. Because you mean to tell me Oregon State, okay, and Ed Ray, an extra $5, $6 million distributed to your university wouldn't do a greater good?
Just coaches, paying down debt.
Paying down debt that you're paying interest on?
Yep.
That's public money.
And
that's leftover television revenue money. What are you doing? Where is that going? Again, this is why you can scrutinize it now, because it's not successful. I disagree completely. There is status quo. There is pay your bills, pay your staff, be mediocre, go to a quality bowl game. But college basketball, mediocre. But then there's asking for better.
Yeah, demanding better.
Well, demanding, not just demanding. There's millions and millions of dollars being invested in these universities. And what are we getting out of it?
Yeah, well, we're getting a bunch of L's and laughs at the Pac-12
right now.
You're
getting a Washington State Huskies stamp on national television.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a slap everywhere when it comes to being looked at as a good conference. Everything from top to bottom is being perceived as a clown show right now.
And one thing that I think that Coug fan that says, if you're not standing up and out demanding better, I'm going to pull my money. Kirk Schultz, the AD of Washington State, actually responded to, among the emails, the Ed Ray one. And he said, I do think that presidents, we could do more to assist the sports media around these types of situations. I would like to discuss all the ways we can support the conference with our local media sports reporters at our November meeting. In particular, I thought Arizona President Robbins' interview recently about their athletic scandal with some additional voices of support in times of media scrutiny can show conference unity. And that is the thing that we see here. Like, Ed Ray is like, no, we're just going to say the hell with them and not work with them. And now we see kind of how the media coverage can spin out of control. Mm-hmm. Instead of work, like in the SEC, Auburn, Alabama hate each other.
Yeah.
But they know that if you work with and you work well with your partners, which is the media in the community, guess what will not be as negative?
Right.
The commentary around your university, instead of just saying double barrel birds to you.
Let the fans have that. Let the fans have their deep, dark hate for each other.
Right.
Let that be at the barbecue, okay? You throw footballs at each other. You do that battle. But with the media side, we're so divisive with our media here. It's why this is bad, why this is bad, why it is such – it's insane to me, because it doesn't create support and uniformity, and it doesn't create any sort of positive spin to the rest of the country. For gosh sakes, our own groups here – and I'm – it's not that I'm here. I don't consider myself a journalist. All I am is a radio host. I react to how this conference puts it out there nationally. And right now, reacting to it, this is what we all see. We all see a sense of status quo. And it here's the other thing. It is what it is.
Right.
Doesn't it just drive you insane when someone says that?
Yep. But right now, that's kind of what Ed Ray was saying. Was that like, oh, well, throw our hands up and we just don't pay attention to them.
Sounds like politics.
You need to pay attention to them. Because this is what's going to happen. You're going to get left behind, and you're going to get left behind in everything you do. For more on this and an overview of college football and the college football playoff, let's talk with our friend Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, will join us next. First is Buck with SportsCenter.
It's time for Fox's top college football analyst.
Klatt with a play action, going to go long, and he's got a man there.
The inside story on college football without the SEC homerism.
I'm going to get it. Like a bull in a china shop.
This is Fridays with Klatt, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Can you find out if Dalton Ferguson was named after Dalton from Roadhouse?
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Thanks, Joel.
Sorry.
Appreciate you.
Brought to you on the fan by 808, the Titan of Hawaiian restaurants.
All right, joining us now on the Callan Capital Hotline is Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt. Good morning, Joel. Is this our first talk with you at home this entire season?
Yes, exactly. This is the first time that I'm actually talking at 7:30 in the morning with you at 7:30 in the morning.
We made you wake up early for us.
I know.
Today.
He's usually like in the middle of Oklahoma or something,
right.
And now you're in beautiful Newport Beach, California.
I heard
That's
it's raining
right.
down
There's
there.
No doubt.
It's been a little dreary for it.
It was raining yesterday. It rained all day yesterday. So, but it's good for us as long as there's no mudslides. So hopefully all those burn areas, that's where the danger is. So hopefully everyone's safe.
All right, Joel, let's get to it. Let's just start with your alma mater, Colorado. Sell us on Mel Tucker. What do you know about the guy?
Well, I've actually never met Mel, but I know a lot of guys that have played for him, both at the college level and in the NFL. He's got extensive experience. Nick Saban has hired him 3 times. So I think that, I mean, that should tell you something. He coached with him at Michigan State and LSU and then again at Alabama. He was the one guy that Kirby Smart said that he had to have when he left and went to Georgia. He's a pretty good recruiter. In fact, he's already flipped one kid that was committed to Georgia, a 4-star corner from the Florida area, in the state of Florida, and so he's going to be coming to Colorado. Mel is a guy that connects with and really motivates players. And I've had a teammate of mine, Brian Iwu, who played for Mel in the National Football League, and he said that Mel was one of the best coaches that he ever had, both from a personal standpoint and from a fundamental standpoint. So when I hear things like that, I get excited. And Colorado certainly is a place that I feel like should be better than what they have been in the last decade. And hopefully Mel is the type of guy that can instill some sort of toughness and ruggedness back to the program, in particular at the lines of scrimmage, and hopefully get them back to a point where they're competing for the division championship. I know they won it a couple of years ago, but let's face it, that was kind of a one-off in what has been 12 years of an immense struggle. So hopefully he can get us back to the point where they're competing at least on a year-in, year-out basis for a division championship.
So, Joe, we were talking earlier just before you came on about just kind of the Pac-12 as a whole. We were looking at there was a picture of Garner Minshew last night that had the Washington State Huskies under his name and just kind of just the conference as a whole. I know there's been more articles that have come out in a group of what the conference needs to do. Your just your take on the conference thus far this year and looking at it and how you think their bowl matchups stack up. And is this one of those make or break again for the Pac-12? You don't make it in college football playoff 2 years in a row. Now you're having scrutiny with Larry Scott. Is there a fix on the horizon for the conference?
Well, I will say that I think it's much worse for the conference than a guy like Ed Ray is acknowledging. He's the president at Oregon State, part of the Pac-12 CEO group, and candidly, one of the main problems with the conference because he is a guy that wants to bury his head in the sand and just talk about theory. And in theory, the actions of the conference have made it better and stronger over the last 5 and 6 years, but that's all it has been is theory. In reality, it is incredibly weak, and it is 5th out of 5 in almost every metric that you can possibly measure in college football, whether it's performance on the field, revenue off the field, perception off the field, on the field, I mean, all of it. And I think that's a frustrating thing for fans. I think that's a really frustrating thing for athletic directors and coaches. That's part of the issue. I don't know if you guys saw some of those things that came out. I think it was yesterday. You know, Ed Ray's communication and this and that. And he was talking about that basically it was just it was his version of like, hey, it's just the fake news media that feels this way. And it's like, no, your own athletic directors feel this way. I would go out on a limb and say that the most upset people about what the conference has done and is doing are the athletic directors. They are beside themselves right now that they have been stripped from power by that Pac-12 CEO group and that Larry Scott doesn't answer to them at all. And candidly, this conference is in dire straits right now. They have got to fix some things and fix it fast, and it's not going to be just wins on the football field. I know you asked about this bowl season, and certainly it would help if they were able to go out there and play better on the field and get some wins and do better than 1-8, which I can guarantee you they're going to do better than 1-8 because they only got 7 bowl games.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're not going to lose 8 bowl games. There's a positive on that side.
Oh, they could find a way.
This conference is in a bad way right now, and they need to fix it. And again, the problem is that the commissioner, he acts on theory, and the Pac-12 CEO group, they act on theory. And one of the major issues is because they are born from academia, and academia is based almost 100% on theory and not reality. And that's a huge problem. And so in theory, when Larry Scott says to these guys, hey, look, we own 100% of our media company, and we're a media company. And they're like, oh, man, that sounds great. But owning 100% of $10 is much worse than owning 49% of $100.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, guys, I'm not very smart, and I can figure that out. And these guys, I think, are smarter than me and can't. And that's a problem.
Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, is our guest. You know, you mentioned the Ed Ray comments in that John Wilner article. Right below it, though, is Kirk Schultz of Washington State, who says, why don't we do what Arizona did and actually embrace the media and kind of try to work with them? How do you, the Pac-12, Ed Ray's basically saying, stick the middle finger up and say, we're not going to listen to you. You cover the rest of the country, the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12. Do you see that there is a disconnect from the universities themselves and the outlets that cover them in the Pac-12 as opposed to those other conferences you travel around and see?
Oh, there's no doubt. And it's much more difficult from my perspective. As someone just covering games, it's much more difficult to cover the Pac-12 just because, you know, their practices are such that they're very snooty, guys. You know, I mean, the nose is in the air a lot in the Pac-12 about just how prestigious their universities are and what they do versus what other people do. Then you go to some of the biggest and best programs in the country, and you walk in there on a Friday, and they almost don't let you leave. It's like, can we do anything else for you? Do you need any more information? Do you need any other players? Do you want to talk to any other coaches? What can we do to help you make this broadcast better? Right. What can we do to help you have more information so that you can speak about our program and our university in a positive light? What the good ones, that's the way they approach it. And in the Pac-12, that's just not the way they approach it. It started to get a little better this year. We had essentially kind of a come to Jesus meeting, a lot of the media partners and all the SIDs. And I feel really bad for these SIDs, because in large part these SIDs are just doing what is handed down from above.
Mm-hmm.
And these coaches can act like little dictators, and you know, at times we get very little to zero access to these programs. And so when you go out there to broadcast a game, you don't have a ton of information about these teams from a backstory perspective. And what ends up happening is you can speculate, you know, you're not necessarily on their side. I fully, fully believe that that was part of the problem last year when that crew from ESPN mm-hmm. took some shots at one of the schools in the conference. And I think part of it is frustration from our side that we're not given what we feel like we need in order to do the game, the players, and the program a service during those broadcasts.
So essentially you're saying the conference needs to be more inclusive than exclusive, right? I mean, if you're thinking of it that way.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
Do you kind of think, I mean, you live on the West Coast now too. I mean, I do. I mean, I've after playing in the South and playing in the East Coast and in the Midwest, is it a personality? Is it a culture here that we look at from the Pac-12?
Yes. Everything is about culture, and the culture around the universities in the Pac-12 is that football at some of these places is not the most important thing. Which is fine. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I am saying though that can be problematic within that arena, right? I mean, when you go to some of these other places, I can tell you this right now. When we go to Columbus, Ohio, you know the number one thing in Columbus, Ohio? Ohio State football.
Yeah.
You know, and yep. You know, Oklahoma's this way, and Texas is this way, and Michigan is this way, and Michigan State is this way. I mean, all of them, you know, to a T. And it's not that way when we come to these places on the West Coast. And I think it is, a lot of it is cultural. A lot of it is elitist, to be honest with you.
I agree, 100%.
Yep.
They want to hold their chest out and talk about their rowing championships and their, you know, volleyball championships and all this. And it's like Conference of Champions. When it comes to football, the Pac-12 is the furthest thing from the Conference of Championships that you can possibly get.
Yeah.
Bingo. Joel Klatt on the Catlin Capital Hotline, joining us, Fox Sports college football analyst. Want to ask you really quick about a coaching hire out here on the West Coast. What do you think of Cliff Kingsbury at USC? I think the dude is going to be lights out with that talent he's got in LA.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I think that he's one of the best offensive minds, you know, in college football. I think it just didn't work out for him at Texas Tech for a number of different reasons, and it would take a long time to discuss all of those. I will say that he does have the talent. They don't have the offensive line necessarily. I think that they've got to recruit better on the offensive line, get tougher on the offensive line, but they should certainly be better on offense. They've got a quarterback and a wide receiver core that I think could put up, you know, massive, massive numbers and productivity. And I think that's going to help USC in a big way, because part of the problem was that their offense was so predictable and so inept at times, even with quality talent, that they had a hard time overcoming some of those schematic deficiencies. And this should, I mean, this should do big things for USC and in turn maybe the conference, because that's also part of the problem, is that your biggest brand has got to be your biggest brand, yep, if you know what I'm saying. You know, the NBA is better when LeBron James is the best player. The Big 12 is better when Oklahoma and Texas are the best teams, and you can say the same about the Big 10. And I'm not saying it's not bad when other teams are also good. I'm just saying that it's really hard for those other teams to carry their conference from a perception standpoint. So I think that the Pac-12 needs USC to get much better, and they should be better with Cliff as their offensive coordinator.
Okay, this is here my final question for you. Last night, there's some good awards. Tua, are you a Tua or a Kyler guy? That's my first part of the question. And secondly, can if Tua is still hurt, can they beat Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts, but not Clemson, if they can make it by that first game?
So I think that Alabama could beat Oklahoma either way. I think Oklahoma has a much better shot if Jalen is the quarterback, because they become a little bit more one-dimensional. The problem with Oklahoma is that I think Alabama could hand it off 50 times and still score 45 points.
Oh, boy.
You know, I don't think that they've Oklahoma is just so inept tackling and just overall defensively. But that's a game I can't wait to watch, because I am a Kyler guy.
Yeah.
I think what he is doing is exceptional. I base my vote on one very simple question. If I was a head coach and I had the first pick, who am I taking? That's Kyler Murray, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing something that's never been done before in the history of the sport, averaging over 300 yards passing and over 60 yards rushing per game. And what he did, and let me also just say this. If you knocked Kyler Murray out of the game and you had the lead over Oklahoma, it's over. It's over. You win that game. Georgia knocked Tua out of the game, had the lead, and then lost.
Lost.
All right. I'm saying is that, like, that factors into my vote.
Okay.
No, it makes all the difference in the world. I agree completely.
Winning the Heisman tomorrow. Yeah. Wait, do you have a vote?
I do, so you can't tell anybody that I just told you.
It's okay. Nobody listens to the show anyways.
Nobody cares.
Joel, keep fighting the good fight on social media,
Joel,
as well. I saw your Twitter spat earlier this week, and I got a kick out of it. So thank you, Joel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, listen, sometimes you just got to end people's, internet day. And that's what I did that day.
You win.
Joel Klatt, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate
Thanks, Joel.
It.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
If you missed it, he got into it with Clay Travis. It was a heck of a deal.
Spectacular.
All right. Joel Klatt every week brought to you by 808, the titan of Hawaiian restaurants, and always on the Catlin Capital Hotline. A lot to digest there, including the Snooty Tootie Pac-12. Dustin came on the Fan. All right. Great stuff from Joel Klatt. When he wrote that down, I wrote it down, and he even brought it up a little bit later.
Yeah.
About the Snooty Pac-12 exclusivity, and I wrote down cupcakes. And that wasn't just a problem with Washington. That was ESPN sending a message to the whole conference, too, with the cupcakes thing.
Yeah.
It's like, because Joel was saying, it's hard to do a game out here because nobody gives you anything.
I agree with you.
People are like, hey, why don't you have more duck or beavers on? Because we can't get them on our show.
I am a former Husky. I'll tell you right now. I asked to get guys on. I called up my alma. I called my SID, which I've known since I was a freshman. I used to room with him. Freshman.
Jeff Bechtel.
Was on road trips with me when I was in college. He was like the guy would follow around baseball, and he was a great dude. He's like, Cam, like, yeah, I can't get anybody to get you. He's like, I'm just doing everything I can. I mean, that's where they're at. Their hands are tied. He's like, nope, coach won't come on at this. No, he won't do that. He only allows to do this. Well, I bet Nick Saban's like that too, but I'm not saying it's a Chris Peterson thing. It's a whole deal here.
It's a conference deal.
When we weren't the home of the Ducks, how many Ducks have we had on?
Well, in Oregon has been much more accommodating.
Of course.
Since we became the home of
How many beavers have we had on? We've had more Cougs on this show than we've had beavers or Ducks combined.
It is ridiculously hard to find anybody to come to.
Well, first, it's early and everybody's sleeping. Cry
but that's
river.
The thing is that
but
we
we're
can't
here
even
to
get
promote
bites.
Your organization, your team, your players. I want to be all about that. I mean, I want you guys to get that kind of support all the time. The Cougs, they do the best job.
Washington State does.
Washington State is the best by far. Well, with saying come be a part of us and do that, and that's not close.
And do you think that's why, just because they need it the most?
Well, no. Yes and no. One. They do need it more.
I mean, they all need it.
But
they clearly all need it.
Here's the thing. Washington State has seen the benefits of it better than anybody else, right?
Yeah.
Because what was College Game Day? It was
huge.
Wrap your arms around Washington
Fantastic.
State, right? It was everybody is, we're in. Everybody's welcome. We're not going to sit there and say no to anybody, right? And Kirk Schultz, I brought up Kirk Schultz in the interview with Joel, and we read his comments earlier. He's the one university president that fired back when Ed Ray said, don't worry about the sports bloggers or whatever he said. And he said, why don't we go out more and embrace the local media?
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? It doesn't hurt us, and we need to find a way to effectively do that at their November meetings. So Washington State also, they need it, but they also have a president that understands it.
I just think we're too sensitive. Joel hit the nail on the head. It's cultural. It is. I mean, when I lived in the South and in the Midwest and East Coast, I'd walk to my neighbor and they would say, can I get you a drink? Come over for dinner, do all that stuff. When I walk to a neighbor now or anywhere, ask your neighborhood, they're like, what do you want? Get off my porch. Get away from me. I mean, it's just culture. I don't know. We're snooty. Why would the Pac-12 be snooty and exclusive?
Because it's the academia. But
it is. It's like, been created academia, and be proud of academia. Education is extremely important. But we're a sports show, and we're a sports culture here that like football but don't love it. Just accept that and stop clamoring for more.
You know what my problem, though, is with the whole academic institutions holding to a higher standard? Yeah, we have Stanford and SC, and Cal is one of the finest public institutions in the country. Washington is a great school. But what do you think Syracuse, Boston College, Duke, Georgia Tech is one of the best schools in the country? You know, we're going to sit here and pretend that the Pac-12 has better academic institutions than the other places too, because they got some pretty damn good schools in the Big Ten.
Why can't we have both? What's wrong with having both? Well, sell me against both. You can have great academics and you can have great football and you can be real. You can embrace everybody.
It's dumb to sit there and pretend like somehow like the schools that were so much better than everybody else. Northwestern is a damn good school. So is Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, cool. They all got great schools. It's not a separating factor that we should be elitist about, but we are out here. It's dumb. I've never understood that about the Pac-12.
I don't get it either. I want more support from everybody. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. But until there's a wave of change, and it starts at the very, very top, and it will trickle down.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a new generation of people coming in, and hopefully that younger generation of leaders do change.
Yeah.
And this text says the Pac-12 wasn't disrespected when Don James, Pete Carroll, and Chip Kelly were coaching. You dang right they weren't, because they were winning.
They were winning big games.
Yeah, they were winning. They were successful. And they weren't that kind of program that said, oh, we're better than you all the time.
Chip was. He locked out everybody.
No, I'm thinking Pete Carroll here.
Yeah, for sure. Pete Carroll, hey, open book. Man. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, 5-5, except for when the NCAA came calling. Then he was pretty tight-lipped about that. 55305 is the better you today text line. We got football Q&A, another Dustin Cam t-shirt going to be given away. Plus our always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining weekend. Would you rather is next on The Fan.